designing plus size clothing is not all that I'm here to do in life. There's so much more. I'm a creative person. I love to create. And when I'm creating, it's my drug. It gives me more inspiration to create things.
Life is all about relationships. Lovers, family, body, or money. How satisfied you are can be completely explained by how you relate to things around you. This is Sophie Jaffe, and together with my husband, Dr. Adi Jaffe, we are here to explore and teach you how to maximize your relationships and achieve a happier life. Let's get ignited. From the moment I wake up till the instant I go to sleep, as most of you know, my day is crazy full. I often share my schedules on good old Instagram, but for those of you who don't know, I am running 3 inspiring businesses. I have 3 gorgeous children running around the house constantly. And in between helping them with school, creating alone time with Adi, and also carving out some solo soul time for myself, there is basically no room left in the day for anything else. I really do know how it feels when I load up on unhealthy foods, and it's not a great look. I don't have time to stress about these added fillers or sugars or whether my food will actually make me and my family feel good and be nutritious. And that's what I love about Philosophy Superfoods and why I started this company. I know that they are trustworthy, that they are packed with high-vibe antioxidants, minerals, adaptogens that all help me deal with what the world throws at me each day. I love my life. I love my children and my jobs, and I want to be able to really thrive in all of these things and put on a bunch of different hats and roll with the punches. And Philosophy Superfoods really allows me and supports me in wearing all those hats. If you would like to stock up on our Philosophy Superfoods, which are always organic, raw, incredibly sourced nutrients, use the code IGNITED, that's IGNTD, to stock up for you and your loved ones. You and your body will feel so grateful for it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Ignited Relationships Podcast. I'm Adi Jaffe.
And I'm Sophie Jaffe.
And today we've got Ashley Nell Tipton, the Project Runway Season 14 winner. Such a cool conversation. Did I make her cry or did you make her cry?
I think we made her cry.
Together?
Might sound kind of weird, but is a goal of ours. No, I'm just kidding. No, but what we love is openness and vulnerability and setting the stage, letting the container be opened and sacred, and really letting our guests and the people that we surround ourselves with feel like they can be the best, most open, most vulnerable versions of themselves, whether that means the shiniest, loudest, most beautiful version of that flower, or if it means I'm in a vulnerable place right now and I want to share my pain and my weakness. Yeah. All of it is beautiful because we're allowing people to be who they really are. And then that allows us to be who we really are and continue to grow and transform. So, so grateful for you, Ashley, and just opening up to us. And, you cracked us open too. So, I mean, keep doing what you're doing. And for everyone listening, damn, can you go back and watch these episodes?
We don't have video out yet. No?
No. Can you go back and watch Project Runway?
Oh, I think so. I'm sure. I guarantee they make sure that you can watch that stuff.
How cool would that be to go back and watch her season? And
after
then
listening.
After listening to this episode, because you really get the behind the scenes of what she was going through.
Yeah, the anguish. Pain. And she was the first plus size designer and model to win there, which... Yep. Was a big thing. We talk about, in my whole fuck shame concept, like this whole idea of even identifying as that. And we talk about that quite a bit of how that keeps you stuck.
Absolutely.
As well, that's your self-concept now.
Yeah, we have another friend, Danica, who runs Model Meals, and she's a plus size model. And I hate introducing her as that because she's just a model. But I also understand it's part of it.
Yeah, but it's sort of like, I mean, we've had all these conversations here recently, but it's like, here's my friend. He's a black model. Like, that
right.
Just feels bizarre.
Right.
Like, why do we have to put people in these boxes?
Absolutely.
So we talk about that a lot. She talks about how some people didn't even really appreciate her win at all and talk down to her because of that. I mean, it's pretty
judgment.
Really,
yeah.
It's really, really interesting the amount of almost like hate and self-work that she had to do just to get through it. So yeah, you get to hear all of that.
You're
going to
love this. And she actually surprised us at the end. Here's a little teaser. But she said that one of her forms of self-care right now is having sex with people and what that brings up. And I was so moved by that. I immediately told a close friend about that. And I said, wow, how fucking empowering.
Literally.
How fucking empowering literally is that to say after being in a long-term relationship, I am actually using sex as a mirror to my own self-growth, to my own healing. This is a ritual that I'm doing right now to love myself more.
Well, and when you listen to the way she talks about it, it's really about her own self-discovery. And, you know, obviously, Sophie, you and I have gone up and down in our relationship to this. I mean, for years, when we initially met, the idea of having like sex with somebody you don't love was really like evil to you almost. It was like something you couldn't understand how people did.
And how naive, like I just lived in this black and white thinking of like, you just can't have sex with someone you don't love.
Or there's something wrong with you.
There's something wrong with you, but I just didn't know because I had never experienced it.
Yeah.
And so I just judged it. So I love that she's kind of taking that power from that and saying, no, this is my choice. This is my body. This is my experience. And this is actually helping me heal.
Yeah.
And to also know that the medicine could be on the other side for someone else. You might want to take 60 days off having sex to heal. Maybe that's where your medicine is. And really tuning into that own, your intuition, your vibration of what would heal you and what your medicine would be at a time when you're trying to explore self-discovery.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important to be intuitive. And it's so nice. I mean, one of the things we get from Ashley throughout this whole thing is she's learned to listen to her own tune and move forward. And I say this, I find myself saying this to people over and over and over. I think too many of us learn when we were kids that being like everybody else is the goal. Maybe being the best version of like everybody else, but being the best version of everybody else is the goal. And then every time when I run into somebody that I look up to or I'm admiring the work that they're doing, it's totally the opposite. It's just
not
they found their own
mold.
Beat, their own drum, and they're doing that. And so it's beautiful the way Ashley's doing it. You're gonna love this.
We talk in this episode about self-love and mental health and also redefining our beauty standards.
And the idea of how do we move away from judgment towards acceptance of ourselves and others and take back our power.
I love that we talk about not just breaking through barriers, but creating walls versus boundaries and the differences between that.
Yeah. And then as we already mentioned with Ashley, just choosing yourself first and knowing when to let go in a relationship or when to let go of things in the world and life that are not serving you. And then like we mentioned at the end, we talk about sex actually as a form of self-care, which is a really, really interesting part of this conversation.
You guys are going to flip out over this episode. Please tag us, tag Ashley, and let us know what your aha moments are, the things that stuck with you and resonated. We're so excited to get your feedback on this.
Enjoy. All right, everybody, welcome back to today's little fireside chat, staring at a laptop in this Zoom world that we live in. We've got Ashley Nell Tipton with us today. So happy to have you on, Ashley. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we were preparing for this, it was like so many things have happened in your life already. You're how old?
I am 29.
I feel like for a 29-year-old, you've done a lot. And I want to get to some of the maybe more publicly facing stuff that people would know you from, like Project Runway and those things that kind of maybe thrust you into the public eye in a bigger way. But as we always do on here on Ignited, we're going to get personal and talk about some of your relationship things that have been going on recently and maybe some of the challenges that exposure, you know, what is it now, 6 years ago or so, really created for you in life and giving you a platform that you're really using well. And so why don't we start out, if you don't mind, just give our listeners a 2 to 3 minute summary of who Ashley is.
I am Ashley Nell Tipton. I am 29 years old. I'm from San Diego, California, born and raised here. I've always been passionate about fashion design and also the plus size community. So I put two of my loves together and wanted to be a plus size fashion designer and started my business out of my parents' garage and slowly transitioned into trying out for Project Runway and dominating that whole season and winning with a plus size clothing line. And then I went on to being the face of JCPenney's plus size clothing line and creating a collection and continuing to be an advocate for the plus size community and also spreading self-love, self-awareness, and self-care to people.
Well, you know, I love that. I'm very much into self-love, self-care. It's like the pinnacle, the center to what keeps me sane as a mom to three in my own life. I think even if I didn't have kids, I would be crazy about self-care because that love and that relationship with ourself is the most important relationship that exists. And I wouldn't be able to show up for the relationships in my life without the amount of self-love and self-care that I give myself in snippets all day long. It never ends. That relationship, you don't get to just like stop loving yourself. And when you do, everyone around you can feel it and everything around you kind of is affected. So
I think people get mixed up with being selfish and then self-love. And I don't think people realize in order for your body and your mind to function the way you want it, you have to give it what it needs by the nutrition or by exercising or reading a book, anything that fuels your soul, your mind, and your body. That's what self-care is for you. Because I'm around so many people and it blows my mind how they continue to go at the rate that they're at and then wonder why life isn't working out or their body is quitting on them. And it wasn't until after Project Runway that I really got in tune with my body and my mind and really figured out what it was that I was missing from making me whole and making me happy to be able to make others around me happy.
That's amazing. So I have a question when it comes to that, right? You mentioned this term a few times already, this kind of plus size term. And, you know, it's obvious that when that becomes this label, this characterization that you play on this big TV show, this internationally renowned TV show, let alone in the fashion industry, that becomes something you're known for. And you talked earlier about how fashion and clothing has been a passion of yours for a while. I wear this bracelet around my wrist that says fuck shame, and kind of this F shame mentality is a huge thing for us. And I was wondering when we were prepping for this, I was thinking to myself, I wonder if sometimes it's almost just like annoying that you have to qualify the fashion piece with, well, I do fashion, but I do it for this group of people. And, you know, we're dealing with so much in our society right now around defining all of these little groups that we're part of. And I don't know, I feel like sometimes it just becomes a limiting factor for us to define ourselves, right? You're 29 years old, you've done all these amazing things. We're going to talk about more and more of them, but you've done all these amazing things. And to be honest, I wonder sometimes if it feels limiting to say, I'm in fashion, but in this part of the plus size world, versus just saying, you know what? I'm about self-love. I'm about appreciating who I am as a person. We all know this. We've walked into rooms and we can tell there's some people who just, they have it. And some of them are tall, some of them are short, some of them are big, some of them are small, some of them are blonde, some of them have black hair. Mm-hmm. They're from different ethnicities. There's just like this, there's this feeling you get when you are talking to somebody who loves themselves and doesn't limit themselves with these labels. And you do so much work now around self-love. I was wondering if you can talk a little bit about that and break out of this box to some extent of like the plus size box and talk about how you got to this place of really appreciating yourself on a deep level.
I think being in this world where plus size is not something that you see in the fashion industry, you never did 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like I lived in this world where we were constantly told to settle for less. And I was like, this isn't the way that we should be living our lives. We should be happy. We should have things that are equal as to everyone else. Why should fashion limit itself and stay in one place? I think when you give us the opportunity by giving us clothing, we are allowed to show you what we can do. And we are no different than anyone else, but we want to express ourselves, and we haven't been given that opportunity to express ourselves. And now we have all these amazing companies who are extending their sizes and finally seeing plus size women, men, all as equal, and not defining them because they fit in this size range. I really feel like we are breaking down the barriers of this fashion look that we all had. Like, we all thought fashion is this one look. You have to be thin, you have to be perfect, beautiful, small waist, this. And I think people are now showing the true beauty of plus size women and men, and that, no, we're not just unhealthy. We're not lazy. We're not disgusting. Like, there's so much more in this world that I think truly the plus size world is this open world where we don't judge people. I think it's starting to rub off on other things where it's like, mm-hmm. you need to be more accepting to everybody and not judge them for the appearance that they are on the outside, and that we need to drop these labels.
What do you think gave you, I so hear you, and I'm wondering, what gave you the confidence to be a spokesperson for this? We were talking 5-6 years ago, we yeah. saw a ton less of it. Even 5-6 years ago, we saw so much less. What gave you the inner power to do this?
I mean, trying out for Project Runway, for me, I auditioned for that show because I wanted to push myself as a designer and see if this is truly the industry I want to be in for the rest of my life. And going through that process and being on the show, I realized if I make it to the end, or if I make it as far as I can, I'm not only doing this for me, but I'm doing it for this whole plus size industry who has been underserved, overlooked at, not taken seriously. So, like, I have to use my platform, and I have to use this stage that Project Runway is giving me to bring awareness. And I truly feel like Project Runway put or allowed plus size women to be on the fashion map. But I think where I truly was like, I'm going to accept that I'm fat. I'm going to accept that people are going to have their own opinions, and that their opinions don't matter. And it wasn't until I got off the show and I was out in public in LA, and this little girl, I was walking on a sidewalk and there was a lot of people, and this little girl said, "Mommy, wow, she's so fat." And at that time I was weighing about 400 pounds. And I called my manager and I told him, a little girl just called me fat on the streets. And he was like, "You're going to make that little girl, or you're going to have that little girl make you cry." Like, it was like a huge wake up call. Like, what's wrong with the word fat? And what's wrong with the word fat is all the opinions that people have given that word, that I have allowed them to do that. And so when I take ownership of that word back, it does nothing for me. So you can call me fat. And so once I got that power back from that word, that's when I accepted myself and knew that I wanted to do something about my health. And I wasn't happy with waking up every morning feeling depressed or tired, or felt like I didn't sleep. Like, a lot of people don't know that I dealt with a lot of PTSD, and I still deal with PTSD from Project Runway. And it's just being aware of yourself, your mental health, and taking the right steps to doing what you need to do to make yourself happy.
Wow, powerful. Thank you for sharing.
Sorry, that was a lot.
No,
it's great.
Never a lot. Never apologize. That's always catch women, especially if like apologizing for nothing. Like, what are you right. apologizing for? Thank you. Thank you for sharing your heart and for sharing your experience with us. What was some of the PTSD that you experienced, or what were some of the experiences from Project Runway, if you don't mind sharing, that really stuck with you?
What really stuck out to me is not knowing what's going to happen next. Being blindfolded. I mean, not being literally blindfolded, but you're blindfolded like mentally. Like, you don't know what's around that curtain, or you don't know if you have an off day tomorrow or what your challenge is. I've never been to jail or rehab or anything like that, but I almost feel like being on a reality TV show, being secluded, having all your items taken away from you, being told when to eat, when to wake up, when to go to sleep. So just being so controlled emotionally, like having therapy sessions every day, like just the whole experience of it was exhausting. And I felt like I was in a rat race. Like, I realized that I was a guinea pig to these producers very, very early on, and how they can manipulate you in any way to get you to say what they want you to say. And so with that, I'm still realizing the little signs of PTSD that I have. I really felt like I let it go. But all of the symptoms I get, or everything that I get, is my dreams. Oh, wow. My dreams are constantly me feeling like I am in a maze. Either I'm in a new city, or I'm in a house that I'm not familiar with, but there's like, a whole a maze that I have to go through to get somewhere. And I'm always by myself. I always feel lost. I feel this anxiety. And it's just, it's crazy. I guess watching the Paris Hilton documentary made me realize that I'm still going through PTSD. You don't have to have PTSD when you're awake and like living life. It could still be happening in your dreams. Mm.
And then, I mean, that's hard to escape too, because
you just want to rest.
Yeah, sleep is the place where you're trying to rest. And I think that probably speaks to so many men and women listening right now who've had trauma of any sort. And it's like, during the day, at least you can think about it and you can try to distract yourself and you can do something to get to the other side. But then, I mean, and I know this from working with so many clients, people are afraid to go to bed because they know when I go to bed, this is going to hit me and I don't want that. So they try to stay up later, or they try to numb out. You mentioned rehab, you know, people take drugs, alcohol, whatever, to try to fall asleep because they don't. And so you mentioned, wow, there's so much in there. There's like this transition. What I love that you described is this moment of supposedly the biggest weakness, right? Being called out for this thing that you hate, right? That girl on the street. Actually ended up being the moment of change and force for you. You took something back, and in taking something back, you took back the power for your life. You actually started taking care of yourself better, which actually even minimized the word that the girl was using about you. And then you took it to another level, which was to put yourself in the public eye, which is completely being public takes you completely outside of that shame spiral that a lot of us get into sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you get yourself into that place and there's this, I'll call it, but just damage. There's like pain and damage that comes from this empowering experience you put yourself in. That has to be really,
And then you won. And then you won the experience itself, but then you won.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I sometimes say, like, thank God I came out with a win, because I couldn't imagine what, you know, the other contestants may feel during that time. Because as much as you want to say, like, I've gone far, like, this is great, there's always that thing missing. Like, I wanted to win. I wanted this so bad. But for me, I was just like, I just want to make it as far as I can. And I don't want to go home the first challenge. And if I make it to Fashion Week, I already won.
Yeah.
But I don't take it for granted. I appreciate it so much. It took me a long time to accept that my win was a true win, especially hearing from Tim Gunn, who was an idol to me. And then after the show filmed, I realized or got to see who he really was and how much he hated me as a contestant and how he felt like I shouldn't have won and that I was a bad example to the plus size community. So that really tore me up as a person. Mm. It made me so depressed. It made me feel like I was a token to Project Runway and that they felt sorry for me, or they just wanted to be have that title of like plus, they named their first plus size winner. And to hear these words from someone who I looked up so much, it tore me apart for a long time.
Man, that must be so hard. You know, it's this one thing came up for me as you were even saying that, which is like, token or no token, breaking through a fucking barrier is breaking through a barrier. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's so, I'm thinking about like all these other examples that I've heard of from other people who were the first to do something. And I've heard the same thing. It's so hard to trust that you did it on your own merit because nobody else had done it before.
Yeah.
But now nobody can say it's never been done before.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, and I think has anything else? So, I mean, obviously things in your life changed, like a contract and these other things because you won. What are some of the things that you know completely changed in your life after that experience?
I think people had a hard time dealing with Ashley as a person changing. Ashley, me as a person, I was very sensitive, very worried about what other people thought of me, always wanting to help people, always giving more of myself than when I received. It was just the way that I looked at life, the way that I talked to people, the way I protected myself. A lot of people felt like the fame got to my head, but what they didn't understand is that I was protecting myself, protecting my energy, knowing how much I can give myself. Because I wasn't as available to everyone's needs, I was the bad person. I didn't care anymore. And this happened to friends, to close families, to siblings. Like I had my own sibling tell me that the fame got to my head. Mm. And I was like, I'm your baby sister. Like, you know me. We have the same parents. Like, how could you say that to me?
Yeah. Yeah. These experiences shape us and change us forever. And that's a good thing. We want to have really big transformational experiences in our lives because it allows us, like you said, you had therapy every single day. Like, what a gift to be able to deal with yourself every single day in the middle of the biggest challenge of your entire life on national television in front of everyone else, to see you process these big emotions and big feelings and just to go through something where you completely moved the needle for the fashion industry, for plus size models, for plus size human beings to feel seen and heard. And you were the one that had to go through it yourself. And then, of course, you're going to get a lot of benefits and gifts from hard experiences. We always do. But of course, you're going to change. What's wrong with changing? Why are we so afraid of change? That's the one constant in life. That's the only thing we can count on.
Let alone after an experience like that. Like, how, if you stayed exactly the same,
that would be scary.
That would be weird. It'd be like you didn't process what happened. Like,
were you there? Are you a sociopath? Like, how did you?
Like, I realized after I got off of Project Runway how I gave myself so many jobs that I did not need to give myself. Mm-hmm. I would go out of my way for people to make, or for me to make sure people thought of me a certain way.
Yeah.
Or I would go out of my way to do things so that people thought of me this way. And I always wanted people to like me. So when there was a challenge where nobody picked me up to be on their team, I would beat myself up for that. And it's like, no, fuck them. Who cares if they didn't choose you? Like, yeah. I mean, I just think of how I would have done Project Runway and today, and how I would have done things differently, and how that whole experience has shaped me, has made me grow into this person that I wanted to. Like, yeah, there's some trauma from there and some experiences, but this whole learning experience has really taught me to not allow it to hang on to me and affect my work, because it affected my work for many, many years. And I feel like ever since this pandemic and COVID has happened, it's really allowed me to appreciate that designing plus size clothing is not all that I'm here to do in life. There's so much more. I'm a creative person. I love to create. And when I'm creating, it's my drug. It gives me more inspiration to create things. And so changing my business from creating plus size clothes in a plus size market that's very, very competitive right now, and we're dealing with fast fashion, and we're dealing with, you know, trying to recycle fashion. And it's just like, it's a mess in the fashion industry. That's how I feel about it. And fast fashion needs to stop. But we're in this Insta, like instantaneous, we need this fashion. We need all these things. And as quickly as it comes, it goes out. But I just really felt like I needed to shift my focus in my business if I wanted my business to succeed through this pandemic. And I really felt like clothing is not a need. Like, I really need to mold my company that could help the world right now. And we really felt like face masks were the thing. And we jumped on it very, very quickly in March before anything shut down in Southern California. And we first found the need of like people panicking and not knowing what's going to happen in the world. Like, so we felt like we need to start helping people with positive messaging, knowing like you can't control what you can't control and you can't know what you can't know. So all we can do is protect ourselves and our well-being. And now that we have to wear a mask every time we leave our homes, why not turn this negative thing into a fun, positive thing where your mask can complement your outfit? Your mask can be a positive message or a political message or anything. And we have found this beauty of making face masks fun. Because I know it's not fun wearing them, but we have to do it for the time being to be able to save us.
One of the things I love about what you're saying, I see so many people who actually can't wrap their head around the fact that they, that things are unexpected right now. You know, in a weird way, it's almost like your Project Runway experience, right? Like, you wake up in the morning, you really don't know what today or tomorrow is going to be like, and if things are going to change or shift. And you said it, we individually don't have that much control, but I see so many people who are really trying to either exert control or make sense of it in their head, even though it's really, really difficult to make sense of. And it's causing people a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of stress. We talked before about alcohol and drug use. We're seeing so many people that are just, they're lost and they're trying to numb out. And, you know, it's funny, you might not get to do Project Runway again to know the lessons of what you learned last time, but you are getting in front of the public and teaching the lessons you learn, right? You have your own YouTube show now, that is called Love You. And it is this place for you to impart exactly the knowledge, exactly these things you learn about yourself through this traumatizing, but yet enlightening and life-changing experience. And you talk about relationships there, you talk about self-love, you talk about all these things that allowed you to become a different, at least hopefully a better version of yourself because of these experiences. Tell us more about that.
It all started because I wanted to quit designing clothing for right now. People were having the hardest time with me saying, I'm tired, I'm done, I'm wore out, I'm drained, I can't do this anymore. I'm not saying goodbye forever, but I'm just taking a break. And like I said, people had a hard time wrapping their heads around this because they're like, you're on Project Runway, you should just get back to designing, that's what you're good at. And there's so much more to me. I love helping people. I love helping them feel good about themselves, realizing things, whatever I could do. And I never saw myself being this person. And I just love being able to have conversations and connect and be real with people, be authentic. And when me and my manager were going through this whole pandemic and he introduced the word to me, pivoting, I never knew what pivoting was. I only had heard of pivoting.
In like basketball.
In pattern making, clothing. Like you need to make sure you pivot your turns, your corners, make sure your lines. It's a terminology we use in making clothing. And so I didn't know pivoting in life meant like you are making these changes in your life and it's not bad. It's just you're molding yourself with what is around you and not losing yourself. And so when I realized that, I was able to be okay with the idea of letting everyone know that I am transferring into a new thinking, into a new design space, and I'm letting go of something that I was holding on because I felt like it was my identity. I felt like everybody identified me as Ashley Project Runway, a designer, plus size designer, someone who had bright pink hair. And once we started filming this YouTube channel, I was slowly changing into the person who I wanted to be and then not allowing Project Runway and what everybody has seen me for. And then dealing with a breakup while trying to film this TV or YouTube series and realizing like, I deserve so much more. I don't have to settle for this. If I don't feel like my needs are being met, then say something. Don't be afraid to let your voice be heard, even if it shakes. And I think I just realized my boundaries with my partner at the time, and they had did something in our relationship that was not trustworthy anymore. And it totally crossed a boundary that we've spoken about. And what I found was not okay. And so I just told him, you need to go. I'm done with this. There's no fighting me back. Like, you need to go home. And this is my home. This is my space. All I want to worry about is my business, me and my dog, and get the fuck out. That's basically it. And it was one of the toughest things that I ever had to do. But I had to put myself first. I had to keep realizing they fucked up. You gave them everything you had. You gave them your trust. And just because they took advantage of it doesn't mean that you can't give it to someone else. It's just that they were not worth it. Oh, as he takes the hair off of your face.
You're hitting on something we talk about a lot on this podcast because we've gone through some really serious trust breaks early in our relationship. Whatever it was, like 11, 10 years ago now or something along those lines. And it was a long road to build back.
Yeah. And it's a choice. Like, you get to continuously repick your partner, just as you can change individually and evolve. And that's the only constant. Same with relationships. If you decide that you're going to go and pivot one direction and your partner's not along for the ride and they're breaking trust and they're not, you know, like Adi and I's boundaries shift and change throughout the months and years, but we're doing it together. And if he takes a hard left and I'm over to the right and he told me to meet me over there and then I'm confused and I don't feel like he held my hand through it, it's going to make some really big shifts in our relationship. And we have 3 kids and a whole life together. But I can promise you, if he takes a hard left and just keeps on turning and I'm not there along for the ride, I'm out. And same for him. I hope he does the same to preserve his own dignity, his own self-love, his own, you know, needs and wants and desires to live a fulfilling life for him, so that he feels whole, feels supported, and he's got his partner along. Like, these relationships, especially the most intimate ones like this, where you live with someone and you decide they're your partner, that's a privilege to the person you're with and to yourself. It's extra credit. The most important thing is you and yourself. If you're not whole, don't be in a relationship. And if that relationship starts being kind of bringing up really bad negative things for you and not making you feel safe, you have the option to pivot yourself, and you have the option to say, okay, I'm going to change my mind now. And you're not along for the ride. And that's our right as an individual.
100%.
I literally felt like I was hitting a wall constantly. Like, this is not what I want to settle with. And do I see myself having children with this person? Do I feel like I can get lost in the woods with this person and we would make it out alive? No, no. When I realized those things, I was like, this isn't for me. Ashley, like, you need to rip off this Band-Aid. I know you don't want to be in pain. I know you don't like change, but this is the best thing for you. And it wasn't until I found what I needed to find that just struck that nerve and was like, enough is enough. And not making myself feel guilty and dealing with all these pain and not allowing that person to let me get really low in my feelings, because there was so many things that I wanted to do to try to get back at this person for how much they hurt me, or because I was in so much pain, I wanted them to be in pain, or I wanted to know if they were suffering as much as I was suffering. Like, just dealing with all these emotions, I didn't want to deal with them because I know what it was in past experience. But really talking about my situation and talking about my feelings with my co-host Andrew on my show, he really got to break down to me why I was in this relationship. Did I realize early on or just recently that this relationship wasn't for me? And did I go into this needing something? And that it's easy to love somebody, but the hard part is finding out if you're compatible or not.
Well, and I think this is part of that journey of self-love and self-acceptance, right? When you're relying on somebody else to allow you to love yourself, then it's so transitionary. There can always be the shift. They have a bad mood and all of a sudden you start thinking that there's something wrong with you. And part of self-love is to be able to say, you know what? I don't need to take on this pain that you're presenting in order to feel like I matter in the world. And even more so, and you mentioned this in the middle of this, I don't actually need you to have pain. I don't need you to have anything. I just need to not have you in my immediate world because I don't want to take on your shit anymore. This was a 3-year relationship, I believe, right?
Yeah. So half of the first half we were long distance, and the second half he lived with me.
Okay. So do you have any tips? Like, what are there any like tangible things? You're talking about so many amazing changes you've had in the last 5-6 years to learn to love yourself, accept yourself, appreciate yourself more. Are there things that you have learned along the way that are kind of like non-negotiables for you now? Like, hey, this is what I do in order to continue feeling this way about myself.
Not stopping myself from doing things that I enjoy doing just because that partner does not want to do them with me. That was one of the first things after breaking up with this person, I realized how much I stopped doing. I stopped hiking. I stopped exercising. I stopped getting my nails done. I stopped all these things because I enjoyed doing them, but I didn't feel like they either didn't enjoy it or they just didn't care. Yeah. This person wasn't on the same health journey as I was. I don't care if you're skinny or fat. I just can't not treat my body the way that I want to. Like, I have to put in good food in my body in order for it to function the way that I need it to function. So me seeing someone continue over and over to treat their body bad, and they can't wonder why they feel like shit, or they can't remember things, or I just try to really show this person how I lived and how I did things, and then because they weren't taking it or listening it or didn't really care, it just kind of made me lose my hope for myself.
And you worked pretty hard to get that hope. So you don't want to lose that thing. I feel like that's a big thing, that word, right? I have hope. I know I'm going to get better. This belief about ourselves is such a big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Okay. I've learned a ton. Mm-hmm. This is amazing. I feel like we can keep having this conversation for hours. You talked about so many transitions that you've made. And there are these five questions that we ask everybody on our show, and I can't wait to actually hear your answers. The first question is, what is the best advice that you have ever received?
There's so many things. I mean, one of the quotes from my manager is like, loving you. And I didn't know what loving you meant. I thought just like, love you. Yeah, I love myself. But it was really loving myself for all the flaws, all the insecurities that I had. Those insecurities are my private, like, just, they're my insecurities, and that I don't need to let anyone else know. I don't have to point it out, nothing, because they're mine, and what I see is not the same what you see. So that was a huge thing for me to realize, and I hope other people can see that as well. And just protecting your energy.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
If people understand who they are and the type of person, I'm not saying like your zodiac sign or like what planet you are or anything. I just think that us as human beings, we give off energy as much as we want to, and we can also receive a lot of people's energies if we don't know how it works for us.
Love it.
And I think it's just being in tune with yourself, your mind, and your body.
What about one of your most proud moments to date?
We probably heard about one of them, but
I think being able to say that I've lost 150 pounds, that's one of my proudest things that I don't really talk about at all, just because everybody has this own taboo about weight loss and health and things like that. But one of my proudest moments is taking my life back and getting my health where I want it to be.
I love it. That's beautiful. You've been through a lot up until now. Is there a moment that you really recognize as being one of your hardest moments?
I think one of my hardest moments is just dealing with these past 5 years of like losing my grandmother, going on Project Runway right after losing her, not dealing with her death, then dealing with all this pressure, being in the limelight, being an influencer, not knowing what the hell to do with my life. And then I guess just really allowing social media to dictate how I think and how I feel. And if I'm not getting that reinforcement, then I'm nothing. If people aren't talking about me, I would put myself through this depression. Mm. So once this pandemic hit, I literally jumped out of it and was like, you can't sink with all of this. Mm. Because I feel like my head was above waters for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
So our next question is about self-care rituals, but I specifically want to ask you, when it pertains to creating a self, maybe like rituals around, practices around loving your body, loving your physical body that you're in. And maybe some people are like, hate the body that they're in. We're all different sizes and shapes. We talked about that a lot. You could have what society deems to be the perfect body, the cleanest skin, the da-da-da-da-da. You could still hate the skin you're in, hate the body you're in. How? What are some practices that you would suggest or that you do to bring them maybe to a neutral or to a positive relationship with themselves?
Growing up, I was always uncomfortable with my body. I was okay with women seeing my body, but I was uncomfortable with men seeing my body because I never felt attracted. So going into having weight loss surgery and losing weight, I knew that I was going to embark on something very, very different, which could lead into body dysmorphia and not seeing the body that I am in now for what it's worth and only seeing my old body. And people might not like this answer, but this is what I did for myself. And that was having different sexual experiences with different men to become more comfortable with my body by putting it in more uncomfortable situations. Meaning, if the guy was thinner than me, if the guy was bigger than me, just being okay with my body and not allowing anyone to make me feel less or more than, just owning it, just owning being uncomfortable.
I love that.
I love how honest that answer is.
It's so honest. It's also exactly aligned with how we live our lives. Like, I constantly want to be in challenging situations so I can look at myself and be like, I'm freaking uncomfy right now. Okay, I'm going to lean into that and keep leaning in. And I'm going to complete this experience, even though I feel super uncomfortable. And that's beautiful.
And people don't have to take it that extreme. I think, yes, please don't. This is just for me. And it literally takes someone thick skin and knowing how to control your energy and by not paying no attention, because you have to be okay with that person not contacting you again or not wanting another sexual experience with you. Like,
it's not about them.
It's about you getting what it is that you want.
You need.
And what you need. And I think a lot of people need to stop shaming themselves for what they want and stop judging themselves. And another thing that I'm trying is like, letting men take me out on dates, even if I'm not used to that. Like I said, I'm blossoming into my beauty, into my sexuality, things like that, ever since I got out of this relationship. And just, I'm having fun putting myself in these uncomfortable situations with men.
Great. That's where the growth is. Yeah.
Because I need to be vocal about what it is that I want and not give the wrong messages out. Like, if I'm not digging you, I'm not digging you. Like, that's it.
You know, what's nice about it, especially coming out of a long-term relationship, it's even actually, if you think about it, it's uncomfortable in the moment, like ripping off the band-aid with the relationship and all these other things. But it's actually a lot easier to practice being honest with somebody that you may just never see again, right? If you really think about it, it's a ton more easy. It's so much simpler.
It is. Because don't we ever wonder when we are not paying attention or doing something, we attract people when we least expect it or something. Yeah. I just feel like when you meet someone, they automatically feel the need to be the person who they want you to think they are.
They are, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and so like being on Tinder and Hinge and like talking to all these men, and one of the first things I say, I'm like, just be real with what you want. Just be real. Like, please don't try to sell me yourself, because it's not going to work. This is who I am. And if you don't like it, that's great. Like, keep moving on. Like, we're just not meant to be. And that's okay.
I love that. This is definitely the first time we've talked about this kind of self-care ritual, because there is something in the way you relate to other people
100%.
That is about self-care. And the moment you can let go of that need to show yourself as who you think the other people want you to be, you can land so much more quickly into relationships. I absolutely, absolutely love it.
Exactly.
You talked about how helping people has been something that you really, really love. This podcast is called Ignited. What sets you on fire? What ignites you?
What ignites me? Being able to make people feel calm, love, happy, joyful. That's just the type of vibe that I always give out. And those are the people who I love having around me. And if I can continue doing that through my art, then I'll be living happy the rest of my life, really.
Beautiful.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us.
So inspiring. So many amazing nuggets for our listeners. Blown away. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for bringing it. And we can't wait to share this with our family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for giving me the floor for this. This is really exciting. And there was a lot of things I haven't shared with people that was pretty awesome that I can share it on your podcast.
Yay.
We're really, really happy you opened up. And everybody follow Ashley. Tag us in a little screen grab right now and tell us what resonated. I can guarantee some of the stuff we talked about not just resonated with you, but made you want to take some action that maybe you haven't before. So let us know what that is. We love hearing that from you guys.
Bye, everyone. Thanks again.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Ignited Podcast. We are so happy to have you along for this ride. Please go and subscribe to this. Leave us a review. We love hearing from you. And if you want more, don't forget to go to ignited.com. where all the podcast episodes are available, with show notes and so many of the little details and links from each one of these interviews. And you can look at all the future events that we have going on, all the things that make Ignited so special, even beyond this recording. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next week.